Look around. It's really encouraging to see all of you. We are so glad that you're here each week. I know I'm not supposed to talk about this stuff, but more and more people are feeling comfortable, and so it is exciting to see you in person, and online's great, but it is, there's something about looking at your little faces, and so it's encouraging to see you today. And are you all okay? Yes. Yeah, so it's been beautiful out, hasn't it? Okay, the Lord gave us a couple of days. It's about to change, but enjoy these days while you have them. Get out. The fresh air is good for you. The Lord gave it to us, and so enjoy it. We're going to kind of take a journey, and what I've been doing is a little different than what I normally do, but I want you to kind of know that we have a main set of scriptures, and then we're going to look at how Jesus speaks into that in a second set of scriptures each week. And so this week we are going to focus on two sets of scriptures, but the one I want you to hold on to. So the first one, I want you to hold on to it, read it over and over and over again, because we're going to reference it the next 3 weeks. Can you believe that Easter, Palm Sunday is like this month and then Easter is? Time is flying. I don't know if it's because we just are always busy. I don't know what it is, but it feels like time is just going so fast. And so we've got to make the most of this time each week as we gather. And so we're going to do that, but just be prepared. And so this week, we are going to start with the scripture, 1 Peter. So if you've got your Bibles, we'll be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We're going to read that this Sunday, and I'm going to trust that next Sunday morning when you get up to do your devotions, that you will read this as a reminder as we step into other scriptures. But once you have that, if you would, please stand with me today. And most of you know this scripture well. It should be a great encouragement to you, and I hope that it's an encouragement to you in the next couple of weeks that you are chosen. That you are chosen, that when you accept Christ, He accepts you, and you become a part of the kingdom of God, which comes with a huge amount of blessings, benefits, support. I mean, I could go on and on. We could spend the whole morning just talking about what it means to be in His kingdom. And so today, let's start with chapter 2, verse 1. So it says here, so put away all malice. Now remember, and you've got to remember that the first part of this reminds us of how we maintain our chosen status. And so think about the scripture. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Now I want you to think as you've journeyed these last couple of weeks, months, this all works up to. It isn't happen chance that we're here. We talked about what it means to be an infant, what it means to continue to be teachable and a child. This all works together. God's ways are different. And so here, remember, you've got to pull back what we've taught, what we've learned. And here he says, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected, that's speaking of Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen. Church, you're going to feel rejected sometimes, but guess what? So did Jesus. You are in His boat. You are with Him. He was rejected, but we are not rejected by Jesus. We are not rejected by God. We are not rejected from eternity because of Jesus. He was chosen in the sight of God and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. Now remember, this is a spiritual house because we're going to talk about the opposite today. Are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they are destined to. But you are a chosen race. This is you, church. You need to believe this. You need to stand with this. You need to recognize that He here is speaking of you, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And we should say amen, because aren't you glad today for the grace and mercy that's been bestowed on you by the God who created what you stand on? It's fascinating that the God that created all that we experience chose you, accepts you, embraces you, loves on you. And as He is a living cornerstone, we become living as well. God, today we come before You and we just pray that Your power, that Your presence, that Your word would come alive, God, that we would see You. God, that we would see You in a new way, that we would see You as what revives us, as what renews us, as what re-gives us the strength that we need for each day. And so today, God, let us be encouraged. Let us be wound up for Your kingdom. God, we come against the enemy again. He has no place here in our hearts and our minds or on this property, so we cast him out through the power that comes through Jesus Christ. And today, we commit this time and this day to You. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, amen. So we should be excited today that we serve the cornerstone. Now, I know, what does it mean to be the cornerstone? Well, it talks about Christ being the living stone. Why is that encouraging? Well, because we serve a living Savior. There are people that week in and week out celebrate faiths that have nothing to do with something that's living. I don't know how they do that. But think about it, we serve an active and living Jesus Christ, and He is the living stone. He was rejected by men. You will be rejected at times by men. But Christ was chosen by God. And see, if we're with Jesus, then we're chosen. Now, how does it feel to be chosen? It feels good, right? I don't know about you, but there were certain things that I was good at when I was young, which was playing instruments, and I was kind of musical. My brother was like sports-oriented, and so when we played in the backyard, it usually ended up that I was losing on the basketball, and it ended up an hour later. I mean, we fought every day, and like the minute he would start winning, I would start the, you know, I'd push him once and say, "You're cheating," and then it just kind of rolled from there to where my mother would stick her head out the door and say, "Boys, do I have to call your mother never did that. Do I have to call your father?" I don't know how many times she said that, but we joke about it with her now, just because that was kind of her theme, and she was a teacher. So especially in the summer, she said it multiple times a day, "Boys, do I have to call your father?" And we knew when she called my dad at work that the evening was going to be different than the day, right? Because my dad was no joke. And so when she did call him, he couldn't get home fast enough, and we had a long driveway, about 800 feet, and we knew when he hit the front of the driveway, which was covered by woods because he came down the driveway, and we knew that Mom had called Dad. Now, I think about, and then we're chosen for a different kind of night than the day, but I think about sports, and I think about being chosen. Have you ever been in maybe gym class or maybe just at the park, and they're choosing teams? And you end up being the last one chosen. Well, when it came to basketball, guess what I was? I was the last one chosen because my feet don't work together in that way. And my lungs don't match up with the amount of activity you have to embark on to play basketball. And so have you ever felt the feeling of being the last one chosen? Is that a good feeling? Come on now, church. You know, you don't even want to think about it. I don't even think about that stuff because I don't like the feeling of it. Because they avoid you when they go to throw the ball, which I always praise the Lord for. I'd say, "Lord, we're playing basketball because I have to, because this back in the day you had no choice. And so I've got to play. And if I don't play, they don't give me a good grade. And this is one area I need to get a good grade in to make up for my math deficiencies." And so, you know, you say all these prayers and you say, "But Lord, if they would just not throw it to me, it would be much better." And so I avoided it. In fact, one of my gym teachers said, "You're a good avoider, young man." And I said, "Yep, you'll see that all year long." And so anyway, certain sports I was okay at, and I didn't mind. And so I tried to excel at those. But we all know that feeling of not being chosen. It's not a good feeling. It causes, I mean, I don't know about you, but as the numbers dwindle and you're still not being chosen, that feeling inside gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Well, church, today I don't care how you play sports. I don't care how good you are at whatever you've done or whatever you're a part of. You are chosen. And when you're chosen, you get to be put in the front. You get to receive what all of us receive, meaning we're going to receive equal portions, because when we accept Jesus Christ, we become a part of the kingdom of God. We're adopted into the kingdom, and we're given the portion of the firstborn. And church, we should celebrate that. It doesn't matter the day, the time, the year that we come to know him. When we come to know him, we receive all that he has for us. And so today, if you've been rejected, and I think all of us have on different levels, don't let that concern you, because you're accepted in the kingdom of God. And so today we look at this scripture and we're reminded that we are living stones, that we are alive and we are well and we are strong and we are protected and we are with. I mean, I could go on all day. Think about the living cornerstone representing Jesus Christ. It was the preeminent stone, meaning the stone that was laid first. And because Jesus becomes the cornerstone, we can stand on that foundation. We don't have to stand on our foundation. We don't have to stand on whether we're good at or not good at. We are accepted. We are fulfilled. We are given the Spirit to do with as God has intended. We also know that this is a new movement. What's happening here, what Peter's speaking about here, this is a new movement. Jesus was God's new movement, and he's continuing to move today. We also know that the cornerstone is the supportive stone. So if you're not getting support from anywhere else, guess where you need to go? You need to go to the cornerstone. You need to cry out to him in a way that you haven't ever cried out before. We also know that humankind must come to this stone. Church, I feel like, and I don't know where you're at, but I've received a lot of emails and texts and just, you know, what are we to do as Christians? What are we to say? How are we to, you know, and I don't know that I have all the answers. But what I do know is that as we go to him, stand on him, receive him, speak him, be him, that things can happen, that things can change. But we also have to know that people need the Lord. People need the cornerstone. I don't know about you, but in our home, you know, we sang growing up, people need the Lord. You know that song. Well, we sing it at home all the time when our children need the Lord. And so we bust out into that. And one day they'll understand why we sing certain songs from the church. And not that that's probably the best way to use that song, but because they probably relate it to when they're bad, we say, you know, you need the Lord. So we start singing. And our oldest now is like, Dad, I get it. I'm like, I know you're old enough to. I want you to think about a couple of things here before we get into the second set of scripture. I want you to know that as Jesus, as his followers, as the people that fall into line behind him, we have to know that there's going to be some collisions. There are going to be some accidents. There are going to be some places where we have to stop and where we have to collide. And sometimes we have to collide with ourselves. There's an area in our life that is not of him. And he comes into our life and says, it's time to rectify this. It's time to remove this. It's time for me to come in and take this space. We also know that collisions are going to happen between us and the world. Why? Because the enemy's in the world. And the enemy is after those that are chosen. He's after those that are. So I'd love to say today that because you're with Jesus, that you're not going to come into a collision from here on out. It's just not the truth. And those of you here today that have been in the faith for a long time, you know that we're coming up against a great force. Yes, we serve the greater force, but there's a force out there that's not of God that is going to collide with you when you stand with God. There's something else we have to recognize. That as the authority of Jesus comes into our life, plans change. Things change. The enemy actually doesn't like change. Jesus created change so that we would have renewal, so that we would be renewed, so that we would. But the enemy doesn't like change. And I want you to think about this for a second. See, when the enemy recognizes that we're beginning to let the cornerstone step into our life and become the authority, think about it. Now, we also don't, in our human mindset, we're not big fans of authority, right? Humble people are okay with authority when it's good, godly authority. But, you know, prideful people, they always got an opinion, right, about authority, a thought. But I want you to think about something. As Jesus comes into our life and receives and takes the place of authority, it just kind of happens. A lot of times you don't have to go out there with the Christian flag and run around. It's just people know. They see. They ask questions. They say, why did you handle this that way? Why are you acting this way? Why are you not going in this direction? Well, those are all opportunities. Why? Because Jesus was just Jesus. He didn't have them get a banner committee together and carry a banner. It was just by the actions of Jesus that people were drew to Jesus. And his authority was threatened without banners, parades, or anything, right? Think about it. Jesus didn't have to do all that hoopla. They just knew him and recognized him because he had an authority that was outside of what they had ever seen before. And church, you have an authority that's outside of what anyone has seen before. Because Jesus said, go on and do greater things. So there's going to be an authority clash. See, I feel like when people have to shout out, have to point out within the church, I always wonder what's in their heart. Because oftentimes when we're pointing somewhere else and we're acting holier than, boy, I'll just tell you as a pastor, when you say that stuff to me, it's the Spirit that immediately says, huh, pray for that person. Because I don't need to run around and say I'm a pastor. I don't brag about stuff. We're blessed by Dollar General. Why? Because I talked to my neighbor in the backyard. And he said, I look your church up online. Y'all are doing something different. Y'all are serving. And I said, yeah. But how did he know that? Because we just have conversations. Plus, our fence is only 4 foot. And so when you're 6 foot and he's 6 foot and you're standing out with the dogs, what else can you do, right? And you talk. And what else do I talk about but church? And so so think about this for a second. I want you to think about a different scripture. So do you all have that? We know that as we are chosen by God, there is going to be conflict. There's going to be collision. As the authority of Jesus comes into our life, it's just going to be a natural outpouring of who he is. People are going to know. All right, so you ready? Grab your Bibles. You should be getting used to this, right? Go to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, and then into Mark 5. All of you know this, I would hope. I think if you've been in church for about 2 months, or in Sunday school at least 2 months, we cover this because it's incredible. And there's a lot of theology behind this event, and I'm not going to get into that. We're going to look at an overall view. So once you have that, if you would just stand again for the reading of God's Word. I'll start so we can keep moving. Jesus calms a storm on that day when evening had come. He had said to them, let us go across to the other side. Now remember, Jesus here is tired. Let's just give him some credit. Let's give him some grace. He was tired and he got on the boat, gave them instruction, and they were on their way. There's actually a lot of theology behind this that they should have just trusted Jesus because they were living in and witnessing and seeing miracles and miraculous things they had never seen before. But we see this happen. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. Now, I love this picture. Jesus knows things they don't know. Now, it kind of feels like the Navy here, and I don't think we often think of this. We think of it as an isolated event. But there were many boats that went with Jesus. It wasn't just his boat. There were people that were serving him. We also know that as Scripture tells us, many went before him to prepare the way, so when he got there, all he had to do was teach. I've been so blessed by this church. On Sundays, you let me preach and teach, which is what I feel most called to do. And you all take care of the rest. Why? Because the Word is so important. Jesus needed to get there and be prepared to speak the Word. And so, church, this is an army of boats going along. This is not just one little scene, this is a pretty incredible scene. There's thousands left at the beach, and they're all jumping in the boats and getting ready to go on to the next. This is a tremendous scene. And Jesus is tired, and they whoop him up, and they say, it's time for you to go and rest. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern. Don't you love that? Whew. There are storms, but Jesus was in the stern, church. Where is he right now? He's in your heart. He's in the core. He was asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked. Okay, we're about to go there today. I'm so excited about this. Do you see what this says? And he rebuked. Now remember, Jesus can't rebuke himself. Jesus doesn't rebuke God. And so I'm going to confuse you a little bit, because many of you put all the things that happen in the weather on the Lord. And it says here, right, that Jesus rebuked. And you don't just rebuke yourself unless you got the enemy in you. And Jesus didn't have the enemy in him, so he got up and recognized what was happening, and he rebuked it. This is significant. Y'all got to rebuke some things in your life because they're getting in the way. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Don't you love the calm after the, when Jesus comes in and you let it out, and the peace that, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Now here's the thing, church. Remember what's happening here. There is a lot happening. The disciples are like, "Wait a minute. That wasn't God. That was some other force that was coming against us. Where are we headed?" We're afraid because they knew something was getting in the way of where they were headed. These were not dumb individuals. They came to the other side. This is continual, even though it changes chapters. This keeps going. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of, I don't know how to say that. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat immediately there, think about this. Poor Jesus knew he needed the rest. Immediately when he stepped out of the boat, man, and this is a great scene. There met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran to Jesus. The enemy running to Jesus, crazy, right? And fell down before him and crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God not to torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And we know how the rest of it goes. He talks to a legion. God, move in these next moments. Speak to our hearts. Change us. Let us be a people that rebuke what's not of you. God, let us recognize the storm. Let us see you clearly. And God, we ask right now that you would move in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I want you to understand this for a second. There was something that Jesus was headed to that the enemy didn't want Jesus to get to. And so he created a what? A storm. It was actually a demonic storm. Wait a minute, church. You mean that the enemy has some power? Y'all better wake up, because yes, he does. And some of you are living in that power today. Some of you aren't recognizing that today. Let's not speak about anybody else. Let's just speak about us, because it has worked on my heart this week. And there are areas that the Lord is working in me. And church, we have to see here that the enemy was putting up a fight because he had a house for a legion. Do y'all know what a legion is? It's a lot. So you're telling me that, wait, Pastor, that he would protect his legion? Well, why not? You know, he's protecting the spaces that you're letting him have in your life. He's protecting places outside of us. He's protecting things in our nation that are not of God. He's causing storms so we won't step into. See, here's the thing. We cannot cross over. And I'd love to say that it's all just flowers and roses. And I think what we need to realize is that when we're crossing over into what God has for us, that there's going to be a storm. I would love to stand here and say, because you're chosen. But see, the problem is that Jesus dealt with storms. And he was chosen directly by God. He was connected to God in a way that we never will be. He was the Son of God. So let's talk about two things, storms and being rejected. See, we have to know and we have to be aware that as we allow, and I want you to make this personal today, as we allow the cornerstone to come into our life and to take that space and to take those words and to take those things and to take our hearts and our minds, that there is going to be a battle. You may not always be spoken of well. It's fascinating to me. And I'm not going to say the specifics, but was in a meeting about foster care, and I was fascinated at one of the meetings. I was fascinated at how far Ashley and I were from the norm, and how when asked the whole class who they would, they said we wouldn't want them because of their values. I've never felt so out of place, and I never felt so just, we've got to do something. I texted Ashley during it, because I was here, she was there, and I said, can we just take them all? Can Misty and I just, let's just bring them all in the house, and let's just, but you've got to know, 27 people, and they looked at us and said, we don't want those values. The reality is all around us, and the storm is there whether we like it or not. But it doesn't mean we don't talk about what's going to happen in our home. See, be warned that as you speak, and I don't know how, if you're living in today or you maybe watch the news once a week, if you speak of, right, and we talked about it, if you speak of, you probably will create a storm. But you know what? I wouldn't worry about that rejection in this time and in this day. If you do it out of love and compassion and mercy, then he's with you. Then he's speaking for you. So as you go out today, you can say to yourself, well, I better expect the storm. Isn't that exciting? A storm's coming, you know, in a couple of days, but not that kind of storm. Let's talk about being rejected. So I'm just setting you up so we can see where Jesus comes in. They rejected Jesus. They rejected, what's crazy is that they weren't actually excited about the man. Now, you know how the rest of it goes. The legion goes into the pigs go over the cliff, and the people are worried about the pigs. Why? It comes right down to money. If Christians would stop worrying about money, think about the stimulus coming. Not that it's going to put our great-great-great-grandchildren into debt, but you're going to get it most likely. And imagine if the church would say, you know what, let's give it to the church. Let's take the government money and... But see, here's the thing. They were worried about money. Because those pigs equaled... They didn't care about the man that had been scratching himself with rocks that could not be bound up. Church, are we worried about the man? Or we're worried about the kids who 10 other couples are different from us so much so that they would say that they wouldn't want their kids in a Christian home. What's rejected by man will be accepted by Christ. And if we could get to the place where we're okay if nobody else accepts us but Jesus does, that would bring fulfillment and life and vitality to us. All right, so let's get to the good part. I don't know about you, but I want you to think about this and in a more realistic way, okay? There's many boats. And I love this because when you really understand what's happening here, the boat that Jesus was in was going first. He was in the stern. He was ahead. He was calling them to go where he knew where he needed to. He had a direction. He had a purpose. This wasn't by happen chance. He was going somewhere to encounter. And he was leading the way. Church, he is leading your way. Whatever it is that's around you or supporting you, he is in the, if you'll let him be the cornerstone, you see how these work together? He is the strength and power and might that we need. And so I love this, and I want to go through this really, really well so I don't miss it. But let's talk about you being chosen. You need to know that you're important. You are important to God. Your cares, your concern, you're saying, oh, Pastor, so basic. You're important. You're valued. We also know that this was a demonic storm. Jesus doesn't rebuke himself because he had no sin in him. And he doesn't rebuke God because God doesn't have sin. He rose and witnessed what was happening. He was asleep. Do I believe and have enough faith that those boats would have made it across? Absolutely. It's why Jesus got mad at them too. Why'd you wake me? I'm in the stern. I'm leading the way. Those forces can come against me, but guess what we're going to do? The boat's going to make it. Jesus was in a storm, but he was not. He was not. Think about this for a second. Why in the world was there a storm that was not of God? Why? Because again, the enemy wants to protect what's his. Why, when you think about the battles that you're going through in your heart and your mind, and you want to get to the other side, do we choose peace instead of Jesus? You like how I threw that in there? See, theologians would tell you that peace, making peace, does not always mean standing with Jesus. I wish it did. But you know what? It does in one respect. When you choose Jesus, peace comes into your heart. Contentment is given to you. Fulfillment is given to you. Boundaries are set up that are healthy for you. And so, yes, there was a force that knew where Jesus was headed. What does that tell us? Guys, ladies, the enemy was aware of what Jesus was doing. He was aware of where Jesus was headed. He was aware of what he was housing across the way. He was using that man to house a legion. He also knew that Jesus had the power to get rid of. He also knew that if he wanted that legion to be spread out, to continue to cause conflict and problems and bring fear among the people, that he couldn't have those boats make it across the... Have you ever thought about it like this? And so, if you're chosen, if you're living, if you're with, if you're his, I mean, I could say all day, then we need to expect that there's a storm, but be reminded who's in the stern. Think about this second thing here. The trial serves to prove who is the cornerstone. Now, what do you mean? Well, the devil doesn't start a storm for somebody he's not worried about. Because see, some of you today are saying, well, I don't have any storms. Get on your knees then. Because you ain't being used the way God wants you to be used. Because he's waiting for you to really step into. He's waiting for you to be a little risky. He's waiting for you to cause some waves. See, the devil doesn't need to start a storm with someone who's got Jesus in the boat, but he's in the back and not in the stern. And so we reference Jesus, but we don't follow Jesus. We reference the Bible, but we don't live it. We look to the Word, but when it gets uncomfortable, we put him back in the... and we give him a pillow. And we say, if you could just stay back there, because I don't want the peace to be... So sometimes when you come to me with a storm, I think in my mind, wow, God's got something. God's moving because the enemy's trying to... Why is it that when people accept Christ, storms come? Well, the enemy's got to get you early. He's got to work on you then. Why is it that when you step into ministry, something happens in your family? Well, why not? I wish I could stand here today and say, well, I mean, it just shouldn't be. Jesus lives it every single day. And so if you don't have, and I'm not talking about internal peace. See, when you have Jesus, you have internal peace. So those storms are just... Think about this third thing. If Jesus went through the storm for this man and the cross for you, there is no place that he won't go for you. Isn't that exciting? Here's the picture we get. Jesus got woken up. Jesus recognized what was happening. And then he went to the upper part of the stern, to the point of the boat. And can you picture this? Here are all these boats in this scene. And here's Jesus at the stern, and he speaks to this demonic storm. And he says, peace, and peace comes. Church, if we would say, okay, Jesus, the storm is, and he rises up in us, he is going to bring peace before us. And here's what I love. Jesus didn't go back to sleep. You know why? Because Jesus knew then that something was up. He knew that the enemy was. He knew that he had to be awake and ready. Why? Because immediately, the scripture tells us, immediately, Mark recognizes this, that immediately Jesus got to the shore, and guess who came? He knew he had a purpose to get over there. He knew there was but the enemy came and immediately began to meet him, saw him from a distance. You know how many times in the Bible it tells us that things are seen from a distance? Your sin is seen from a distance. God is seeing it. God is seeing the corruption, and he's wanting to address it, cast it out, rebuke it, go through the storm to stop it. And then immediately, so I kind of have this picture in my mind, and you know what, if you're a theologian, you can disagree, but I'd like to say that Jesus didn't go back to sleep, that he knew what was coming. He calmed the storm and recognized it wasn't him that created it, recognized it wasn't God that created it, and he stayed in the stern and kept the course. And then he immediately encountered a man when he got to the beach. He didn't go back and have a snack. It didn't say any of that. It said that he kept the course, meaning something's up over here, and I'm about to. You know, that's the kind of, you should get excited. There's something up ahead, and since Jesus is in front of us, he's going to. Something you're worried about today, he's going to. Something you're concerned about today, he's going to, if you'll let him. And there's Jesus at the front of the boat, getting to there, and everybody's following him. They're amazed. In fact, I love this, and this is where, if you come to me later and say, I don't think he stayed, well, it wasn't that far. And you know what else? The disciples were afraid of him after that. I mean, this is like Jesus on like steroids. I'm sorry. He got up and they saw what he did and they saw the oar around him and they were afraid of him. Meaning he was in no like joking mood. I'm sure Jesus joked from here and there, but I'm telling you, this wasn't one of those moments. The disciples stepped back and said, we're going somewhere. Y'all should be afraid of what Jesus wants to do in your life. But you should receive it. You should follow it. You should live in it. Because when you see the end, which is a man made whole, a person made whole, it's worth it. See, I want you to think about this because this is where most of your minds go. Just be honest, because mine does too. We thought the storm meant that God had left us. See, most preachers would preach on that the disciples thought that Jesus had left them. It doesn't mean that. The storm here meant that Jesus was and is on his way. Church, that storm in your life, Jesus, if you're with him, he is already on his way. If you're praying for that wayward kid, he is already on his way. If you're praying for, he is already on his way. If you're concerned about, give it to him. He's already on his way. Which tells us they didn't have to wake him up, but they did. Which tells us if we'll just be obedient, he's awake. He's aware. He's ready. But my goodness, imagine the Jesus that's in the stern pointing and saying, You come up against me, enemy, wait till I get to that man. You realize that the battle had no longer been about the disciples. He rebuked them, turned around. They looked to him and said, I don't know what's going on, but I'm afraid of him. Why? Because Jesus recognizes where the battle lies, and it doesn't lie with us. It lies with an enemy that wants us. And he recognized that why this was happening was not because of. He recognized it's something, and he got fired up. So much so that they knew that he was coming. Whew. Imagine if that battle already knows we're coming. And when we say we're coming, it's actually he's coming. Whew. Mary, would you come and play? So I want you to rethink your thinking. That's what I want you to do today. And no matter what you've got on your shoulder that's saying, he's not fully with me. He's not fully there. He's not fully listening. He's not fully in the boat with me. Rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And say, no. You know what, Jesus? Take the stern. You know what, Jesus? Lead the way. You know what, Jesus? Rebuke what needs to be rebuked. You know what, Jesus? Cast out what needs to be cast out. And I'll go with you. And stop thinking that the storm in your life is because of Jesus. Because there are storms in your life that have nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the fact that you're chosen. It has everything to do with the fact that you're Jesus. That you're his temple. That you're the presence. That you're the place. This is very significant. The man was a house for demons. We were not created to be a house for demons. It's why he was tearing his body apart. You're not intended, created, formed to be a house for the... It's why that stuff destroys us. And the Lord is saying, come and let me make you whole. Come and let me lead you. Come and let me show you where that storm comes from. Come and let me show you. Think about one last thing. If there was a legion of evil spirits in this man, imagine what was in the storm. Come on. If he was trying to keep Jesus from that man who was housing legions, imagine if you're headed to take away, to remove, to rebuke, to stand with, to become whole, what he's going to send. It's why starts. I remember Stephen Manley saying this as a young kid. The start, get on guard, get surrounded, get people's back then, their house phone numbers, he would say, so you can call on them, so you can call on the people around you. Because whenever you start something, he's going to. So just be prepared. Be willing to. And so today, I guess my thought today, as we stand, as we sit, as we're here, think about it. There may be some storms in your life that have everything to do with who's in you and nothing to do with you. That storm was not there for his people. It was there for the enemy's possession. And so maybe today you got to clarify in your mind, you know what? Maybe I'm in this place today because I'm his. And you know who really doesn't like me is the enemy. Maybe that's you today. But you know what? Maybe you're on the other side where you've got some areas that the enemy is protecting, that the enemy is putting up strongholds so that the Lord can't get in there. And maybe today you need to recognize that the enemy puts up a fight for what's his. But the Lord can come in right in the middle of that storm and say peace, because he has the power and authority to do that. So if you want peace in here, then you've got to go to him and say, Jesus, come from the back and go to the front, because I know what you can do when you're in the front. So the altars are open. Today is a day just rebuking. Take a moment, bow your heads, have a conversation. Recognize, hey, this is why this is. Be okay with rebuking those things that aren't of him. Let the Lord have his house back. And let the enemy find somewhere else. And hopefully not in a person.